For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is lashing out over the anonymous New York Times editorial that criticized his leadership. He says he could think of maybe five people that might have written it.
People that either I don't like or respect, but they're there because in some cases they have to be governmentally, meaning they're protected. You know, we have a lot of people that are protected.
The New York Times has responded to the president in a statement. The editors expressed their confidence that the Justice Department won't participate in such a blatant abuse of government power. The paper says the president's threat underscores not just the need for a free press, but also why the Times must safeguard the author's identity. The president says the Justice Department should investigate who wrote the editorial, saying that people are disgusted that the Times ran the article in the first place. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dear Diary, today I had two more people say, "You look good. Have you lost weight? Between you and me, it makes me feel really good." People have also started asking, "What workouts or diet are you doing?" And the famous, you know, "What's your secret?" I can't help but wonder, should I let them in on my secret? Well, Diary, you know my secret's Calitrin. I still can't believe how amazing it works, though. Yeah, I eat somewhat healthy and I exercise a little, but Calitrin seriously is the one doing all the work for me. I've never felt better. Anyway, I've got to go, Diary. I've got a date tonight. Talk to you later. XOXO.
Hello, my name is Joyce. I've used Calitrin for a while. I've gone from a size 24 to a size 6. I no longer have knee pain, and it makes my sister-in-laws jealous.
I'm Roger, and being the age of 54, my joints felt so much better. I got a better night's sleep. Can't say enough about the product.
My name is Melissa. I've been taking Calitrin since I've lost 22 pounds.
Calitrin, the number one choice for healthy weight loss. Try it today at toploss.com or call 833-TOPLOSS.
Former Trump campaign advisor George Papadopoulos, who was convicted of lying to the FBI during the Russia investigation, has been sentenced to 2 weeks in jail. His attorney, Thomas Green, thinks the judge was certain his sentencing was fair.
You know, some people will think the sentence is light. Some people may think it is heavy. But there's no doubt in my mind that the judge issued what he thought was a very fair sentence.
Papadopoulos says he's deeply embarrassed and ashamed. Former White House counsel during the Nixon administration, John Dean, expressed some of his concerns during the confirmation hearing of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh before it wrapped up on Friday.
He would have the Congress immunize sitting presidents from both civil and criminal liability. Under Judge Kavanaugh's recommendation, if a president shot somebody in cold blood on Fifth Avenue, that president could not be prosecuted while in office.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
The UN ambassador has plenty to say to Iran and Russia about supporting Syria. USA's Robin Walensky has the story.
At the United Nations, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley calls out Russia and Iran, accusing leaders in both countries of supporting Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Haley speaking during a UN Security Council meeting.
Russia and Iran, as countries with influence over the regime, must stop this catastrophe. It is in their power to do so.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
A fast-growing wildfire has spread to 24,000 acres in Northern California, and fire crews have not yet been able to get a handle on it. The Delta Fire is largely confined within the Shasta Trinity National Forest near Redding. Officials fear it will expand eastward and merge with the Hertz Fire, which is mostly contained but has burned more than 45,000 acres. The sheriff's office said numerous structures are threatened by the fire and at least three homes have been damaged or destroyed. California's largest freeway, Interstate 5, was closed overnight around Redding, where the car fire burned 229,000 acres and over 1,000 residences just a month ago. Some truckers had to unhitch their trailers and left them on the freeway to escape. The Forest Service said flames as tall as 300 feet were reported along the freeway. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Alliance Brave, a program that advocates for our active military, veterans, and first responders. Presented by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty, with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. Tune in, join in, and plug in with us on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave.
In the air, everywhere, around the world, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, where we bring education, information, and communication to active duty military, veterans, and first responders. I'm Jim Blight, Certified Senior Advisor, U.S. Navy veteran. Joining me, one of the finest guys in North America, the guy who brought cookies this morning, Ron Abrams, Director of the Texas Veterans Commission for Employment. Ron, good morning.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Sir. Good morning. Good morning.
We're all tangled up in the wires here.
Yeah, you forgot about the cinnamon pastries and
you brought back so many fabulous memories this morning, Ron. Absolutely terrific. Well, this is the month of September, and in September we are honoring veterans, and we're talking about mental health. And one of the most important components, I think, of mental health is having a place to live, being stable in your life.
Yes.
So, Ron, I want to introduce you to a very good friend. I've known him for a number of years now, Dennis Llewellyn. Dennis, welcome on board my ship this morning with Ron Abrams.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning, sir.
Man, what a beautiful
morning,
day.
Morning, Ron.
Morning, sir. Morning.
What a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I mean, you know, all of the showers in September, it's cooling things off. Boy, I drove up to Monteague County earlier this week, and it looked like Ireland. I couldn't believe it, man. We've had so much rain. Normally, North Texas this time of year is burnt to a crisp. But, Dennis, I am so thankful for all you do. Let's go back and tell everybody, when you and I first met, what you were doing, and you were heading up an organization that I believe started out in Lubbock or Amarillo. I don't remember.
Yeah, it started out in Midland. Christians in Action. These folks used to come out and do home repairs for folks. The guys out there have probably helped over 10,000 folks over the time. And we expanded that, and really in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but we focused on home repairs for veterans, called it Operation Freedom. Operation Freedom continues. We'd go out, we'd get recommendations and nominations of folks. We'd go out and do repairs on their homes, sometimes minor things, maybe to get code enforcement off their back, or maybe installing grab bars or something to make the home safer, dealing with health, mobility, safety. But sometimes we would rebuild homes that had been devastated by fire or flood or other natural disasters. I did a couple that had burned. But oftentimes, Jim, we would come across homes and veterans and their families where the homes just couldn't be repaired. Some of these rebuilds we did cost, you know, in neighborhoods of $70,000, $80,000. Even one of them cost $118,000. Now, it was worth every penny, but my partner, Valerie Ballard, had been doing some research and came across this new craze across North America called tiny houses. And she kept hitting me with it and saying, you know, this is a great alternative to trying to rebuild these houses, is building these tiny houses. And I got to tell you, I was a little skeptical. Jim, you know me, I'm 6'6", and I don't feel like I fit very well in too small of a space. But once I saw a couple of these tiny houses, and I went out to the tiny house jamboree, Valerie had me sold. And then coming up with, you know, of course, the sponsors and selling it to them and letting them know we're going to be shifting focus from making home repairs to building these tiny houses. It just, the spark in people's eyes. Everybody loves the tiny house thing. So that caught fire. And then when we added in a couple of other components, normally we were asking volunteer groups to come to South Dallas or areas like that to work on these homes. And a lot of folks had trouble either communication, bringing their group down, transportation, whatever it was. And so this, the tiny home, can be built on a trailer and literally can be brought to the parking lot of a company that wants to do a team build, and they can build on it. And then we move it to another location and another team works on it. And so we're going to be doing that with some of our great sponsors like Home Depot and Chesmar Homes. And these folks are going to be helping us. We've had a lot of other great sponsors step forward. And these tiny houses, we're going to be putting these in what we're calling veteran communities, veteran villages, veteran camps, where you talked about it a minute ago, the mental health. And we all know the startling statistic of 22 veterans a day committing suicide. And the research shows that the predominant two reasons for that are isolationism, they're by themselves, and they just don't feel like they have a purpose. These veteran communities, whether it's four tiny houses in one spot or six tiny houses in another spot or 20 tiny houses in another spot, these will be communities. Each veteran will be responsible to the other veterans in the camp. Each veteran will have a responsibility. One might be a cook. One might have transportation to take people back and forth to the doctor or to the drugstore. One might want to do the landscaping and gardening around. So everyone will have a purpose, regardless of what that purpose is. Everyone will have a purpose, and they'll all report to each other, and they'll be a kind of a captain of the camp. One of the veterans will be named the leader of that camp, and everybody will report to him. So we're hoping that through this holistic approach, and then working, of course, with Ken Watterson and his crew, and Ron, and we want to, you know, work with you guys and make sure these guys get access to helping get their resumes updated, getting jobs, because Jim, you hit the nail on the head. The home is where it all starts. So if we can get these guys and gals into tiny houses, and these places are going to be really close to the VA hospital, they'll be able to walk over for treatment or for resources or for assistance. We are really on to something here that can mean the difference for the over 350 homeless veterans in and around Dallas, Texas.
This is something that, Ron, I think is really cool. You and I had, you brought a great minister from Fort Worth that had several acres that they had acquired that they wanted to do this tiny house community.
Right.
And you, tell Dennis and I a little bit about that interview that you and I had about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, essentially they're trying to do basically the same thing, but apparently when you try to do something like this in a community, you've got some pushback. So right now they're still in the planning phases. So I applaud you for, you know, taking the steps and getting over those obstacles. But you're right. The homelessness and when it comes to veterans is very high in the Dallas area, but just like employment, as long as we have the collaboration, we can put the dent in it.
Now, one of the other things, excuse me, Dennis, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying that's one of the keys. We're not over all the obstacles yet, and there are definitely obstacles, zoning, coding, those kinds of things. And so we need to, you know, have all the support we can from city leaders, from county leaders, and we need all the prayers and thoughts and assistance from the individuals help and support this type of initiative, because there will be those who think, well, you know, maybe not in my neighborhood. And so this is a great way to help a lot of folks and bring a lot of stability to a community. So we look for any help getting over any obstacles coming up.
I think it's really important, and especially as we talk about mental health, and I'm being redundant, but this is so key to having that home, having that stability, having that place. And I think that one of the other things besides homeless, I run into situations just like you were talking about before, where the home that they're living in has been so severely damaged. I went into a home up in Tulsa one time with a retired U.S. Army Sergeant Major, and it was cold. I mean, it was real cold. And his daughter asked me to come up there, and it was January, and I walked into the house in the smell of the burning gas range. So he had all of the four burners on,
all the burners on.
The oven on, and they were still freezing to death. And as I looked through this house, let me tell you something. I didn't want to sit down. I actually wanted to get out of the house and wash my shoes off because it was in such bad shape. And the problem was that his physical limitations, he wasn't able to take care of this house. And so windows were broken, cracked, in bad, bad shape. I told him, I said, my goodness gracious, if the city came in here, they would condemn this and you'd be in a bigger problem. So you're talking about also having a resource that would enable that man to move into a clean, quality, uplifting facility, but also be a part of a brotherhood. And I think that's one of the big things about the military. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
And Ron, your involvement, for instance, in your brotherhood of your fraternity does that. And this is the sort of camaraderie that those of us who have served in the military are really, really comfortable with, is that kind of brotherhood.
And you kind of reminded me of how we grew up in Akron, Ohio. I mean, it was the snow belt. A lot of people don't realize how cold it gets up there. But we used to huddle around the kitchen stove. And my grandmother would have that thing on, and we'd just sit there watching Hee Haw, you know, in the Saturday evenings. But, you know, you've got, I don't mean to downplay this, but you've got a lot of homeless out there right now who have no heat, that they have no way of staying warm out there. But with the collaboration, as we spoke of earlier, we can put the dent in the homelessness and continue to provide the blankets. Even beyond that, provide, you know, some suitable housing. But I had a question for you, Dave, or Mr. Llewellyn.
Dennis.
Dennis. When it comes to actually occupying the home, what must the veteran have? Do they have to be, as long as, you know, when it comes to their character of service? Of course, honorable discharge, things of that nature. But what's the criteria for getting into the home?
Thank you, Ron. We have a kind of a panel of veterans who help us determine that. We would hate for that responsibility to fall to us alone, so we like to involve as many people in the discussion as we can. And we've determined that it comes down to each individual case. I mean, there are times where a young man, 19, 20 years old, got crossways with his drill sergeant and was shuffled on out, and maybe there was extenuating circumstances there. So we're willing to listen to any case, but the very basic is that without any question, we look at anything other than a dishonorable discharge.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
I think that's...
And even in those cases, we'll take a look.
I think that's really, really important. And again, want to make a point of how can people get a hold of you? Where can people go to find out about your organization?
Well, there's a couple of different places. OperationTinyHouse.org will take you directly to the North Texas Capacity Builders website and to the Tiny House, the program page of that. You can also email us, tinyhousesforvets@gmail.com. And then, Jim, I'm always happy to give your folks, and I'll go through all those things one more time, always happy to give your audience my phone number, my direct personal phone number. We've had a lot of great folks step forward because of it. So 940-595-3949. Once again, OperationTinyHouse.org. You type in the www, and then also the tinyhousesforvets@gmail.com. And my phone number again, 940-595-3949.
I tell you what, let's do. Let's take a break for a word from our partners, and let's then come back and put more stories to having a solution to not only homelessness, but to one of the biggest mental health issues, which is doing without, not having a place to live, which affects your ability to get a job, it affects your ability in the community, and how the design of these things that you've been talking about incorporates camaraderie, brotherhood, and accountability. So this is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams. We're talking with Dennis Llewellyn about Operation Tiny House, a way to end homelessness for not only veterans, but I think a good way for America. We'll be right back.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards and said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
This is Jim Blythe, your host for Alliance for the Brave. I work for Homebridge Financial Services Mortgage Company, and we're one of the top mortgage lenders in the nation. We're offering to our listeners a special promotion. Homebridge is offering $500 off your closing costs to our listeners who use the promo code A4B. That's A in the number 4B. Just call 833-4-MY-VA-LOAN. That's 833, the number 4, MY-VA-LOAN. Or visit our website at homebridge.com. My NMLS number is 311-548. And our Homebridge company NMLS is 6521. Our address is 194 Wood Avenue South, 9th floor, Island, New Jersey, 08830. We are an equal opportunity lender, and we love veterans and want to help you with your home loan financing needs. Jim Blythe with Homebridge. You can also go to my website at allianceforthebrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, Anthony Kim, Del Harris, so many people, former Dallas Cowboys, have given of their time to be a part of Nancy Lieberman Charity's Celebrity Golf Classic. Nancy Lieberman here. This day is certainly about friends, it's about fun, but it's also about philanthropy and giving. At our golf classic, your contributions, they benefit children that are served by us. We've sent 44 high school seniors to college the last 7 years. We've built 62 dream courts around the country, 25 in the Metroplex. So that's where your contributions go to. You get to high-five kids that you're helping and watch them receive iPads that will help them excel in the classroom. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancyliebermancharities.org and be a part of our team.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Antel, U.S. Army retired.
Confidence is a force multiplier. Leaders must generate confidence. Confidence is contagious. If you have confidence, you can make your team confident. But if you don't have confidence, if you lack confidence, they'll be hesitant. What kind of team do you want? As a leader, you want a confident team that can move forward. If you say what you mean and do what you say, and you have confidence in what you're doing, you can lead a team effectively. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
Listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network, honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back. You've got Jim Blythe. Welcome on board. Ron Abrams, U.S. Army. Welcome on board, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's take this ship out and talk about helping veterans' mental health issues from the standpoint of homelessness. Dennis, by the way, I want to connect you with an organization, Veteran Forces USA, veteranforces.com. They've got a golf tournament coming up on October the 13th. I'd really like for you to get involved with those guys, and I'm going to send you some information about that, because one of their big things is to honor Lee Ermey as well as benefiting homeless veterans. So there's somebody you need to connect with.
That would be Mr. Chuck Wright.
Yeah, well, that's one of my closest friends. Matter of fact, he takes care of my mother-in-law's finances, and he's like a brother from another mother, I got to tell you. And, yeah, you're connected.
He's a good man.
He's a great man. He's also he and I are planning to have a weekend of shooting because he's an ex-Marine. He could teach me a thing or two. Hey, Ron.
Survival, too.
Yeah. Well, he was a helicopter pilot. He wasn't infantry. One of the things I think is critically important are some questions that Ron has. Ron, lay them out, brother.
Yes, I was actually wondering about the length of stay. Once a veteran is allowed to participate in the home, how long is he allowed to stay in the home itself?
As long as they're able to. And so that would be physically. I mean, if they had to move on to some kind of assisted care or something like that, that would be a natural progression. As long as they need to, if they wind up going so well that they want to then, you know, move on or move back with family or get back on their feet, get a bigger place somewhere, move back to a family homestead. It's as long as they need to. It'll all be through the VA. It'll all be through the housing vouchers.
Great.
And so
great.
As long as that program is there, and you and I both know that there's so many of those vouchers that go unused. And so this is a great way. And we're even talking with the VA about the very possibility of putting some of these tiny houses on some property that the VA has just acquired immediately adjacent down there off of South Lancaster.
Great, great.
I know my good friend Gary Hasty built rebuilt a burned out apartment complex on 52nd Street and filled up with veterans. And I know that is a great thing and has helped those people. This is so terribly important, but we need other locations. We need to be talking with some people in Tarrant County and some people in Collin County and get you Chuck Wright talking about what you can do up there too.
Let me share some good news with you. So we're the prototype and everything that we're starting, we're trying to focus it right there near the VA to start with. And we've got some good traction going now because this is brand new to all of us. Been rebuilding houses for 4 or 5 years, but this building tiny houses, we've just finished the very first one. We just had the grand opening of the Joanna Veterans Camp at 112 West Elmore. This is a property that was owned by a beautiful woman who used to do everything she could in the memory of her brothers and her father and her husband to help veterans. And so we're continuing that legacy. It's Valerie's grandmother. And so we did the grand opening the other day, kind of open house. There will be tiny houses in the back of this community center. And so we're gearing up, but we've got already, if you know Josh with Operation Steel Hope and the Freedom Ranch that he's got out in Mineral Wells, he's got room out there to do some of these tiny houses. We've got a widow, a veteran widow down in Alvarado, has 20 acres, wants to put these houses on. There's lots of potential, but what we really need to do first is get it down to where we can do this as a, not an assembly line, but in an effective, efficient manner. And once we can do that, once we get that template, then we can reproduce it with the help of our friends at Home Depot and others and make this happen for a lot of folks in a lot of different areas.
I tell you what, this is really important because this is Mental Health Month and we're talking about the foundation, in my opinion, of mental health is housing. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Indeed.
All right. We're going to be back after a word from our partners to talk more with Dennis Llewellyn in OperationTinyHouse.org. Dennis is going to give you out his phone number, so we'll be right back after these messages. This is Alliance for the Brave.
Of Schubert Serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
I wonder.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is lashing out over the anonymous New York Times editorial that criticized his leadership. He says he could think of maybe five people that might have written it.
People that either I don't like or respect, but they're there because in some cases they have to be governmentally, meaning they're protected. You know, we have a lot of people that are protected.
The New York Times has responded to the president in a statement. The editors expressed their confidence that the Justice Department won't participate in such a blatant abuse of government power. The paper says the president's threat underscores not just the need for a free press, but also why the Times must safeguard the author's identity. The president says the Justice Department should investigate who wrote the editorial, saying that people are disgusted that the Times ran the article in the first place. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Colonel John Intel, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea, a trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, and Anthony Kim have enjoyed themselves at the Nancy Lieberman Charities Celebrity Golf Classic. This is Nancy. This day is about friends, fun, and philanthropy. At this tournament, your contributions benefit the children served by Nancy Lieberman Charities. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit NancyLiebermanCharities.org and be a part of our team.
Throwback weekend here at Darlington.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Kyle Busch to the inside of Kyle Larson.
With only two races left to qualify for the playoffs.
Jamie McMurray looking for an opportunity.
Some of NASCAR's biggest stars.
Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney right there.
Ryan Newman makes his way around.
Are hustling to stay in contention.
Now here comes Denny Hamlin to join the fight.
The Bojangles Southern 500.
He's just hanging on for dear life.
Sunday at 4 on the Motor Racing Network.
Don't miss the Bojangles Southern 500 tomorrow at 5 on 1160 AM KBDT.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army retired.
Simplify, simplify, simplify. Leaders must simplify. They must understand the problem and simplify it so they can communicate it. If the idea is too complex, if the communication is too lengthy, nothing gets done. Leaders have to simplify the issues, make them clear to everyone they lead, and then get them to do what is necessary to accomplish the mission. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
Today's program is brought to you by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Visit us on Facebook or online at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now back to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network.
And welcome back. Welcome back. We really thank everyone for tuning in to the show today because it is an exciting one. All of those who are listening by Facebook and the radio itself, and also all those who are listening by way of the military bases throughout the world. We have a great show tonight, or this morning rather, and our guest today is the founder of Operation Tiny House. And I just want to welcome back to the show the incomparable, the intractable Dennis Llewellyn. Thanks for holding, Dennis.
Hey, not only that, he's a really nice guy I've known for a long time.
and I do need to clarify, I'm only the program director for Operation Tiny House. Valerie Ballard, this is her dream. I've helped along the way, but by gosh, she has had the vision, she's had the tenacity, and she's had the wherewithal to get out there and beat the streets and start making this happen. So, and like I said, I was pretty skeptical on these tiny houses, but we had some veterans along the way. And Jim, you touched on it earlier. You go into some of these houses, man, and you're taken aback. I mean, I've been in houses in Plano, Texas, that if the neighbors knew how the conditions were on the inside, they would not be able to rest well. And it's not just South Dallas, but we did have one gentleman I wanted to share with you, 182nd Airborne, Mr. Davis. I went down to find out what was wrong with his house, and we spent about 40-something minutes on the porch while he told me story after story of counting bullet holes in a parachute, spending 2 days in a foxhole. He just had story after story. He did 3 tours in Vietnam, and finally I said, Mr. Davis, I'm here to find out what's wrong with your house. Can you show me? He said, oh, that's easy. Walked around the back of his house, and the fourth wall had fallen and separated, and so it had completely come off the back of the house. It was an open house in the back. He had 3 walls standing, 1 completely down. It had been like that for 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Davis been living in there. He had 2 pit bulls that he said helped keep things out of the house. And he said, that's what kept him going. I said, how in the world can you live like this? He said, it's better than a foxhole in Nam. And so you've got guys out there that just have this mental attitude that they don't want to ask for help. They don't want to beg for help, but by gosh, they need help. And so we know there's over 350 already homeless, but I'm here to tell you there's a whole bunch more out there that are just right on the edge or as bad as being homeless, and we're here trying to help those folks as well.
Dennis, I had an experience this week with a friend of mine, and I went to see his father, and the gentleman lives in what's really a fifth wheel that he added just using siding like a living room and bedroom to this fifth wheel. And the whole area had flooded. I don't know if this thing had flooded, but it was on concrete blocks. And it was so bad. And I thought to myself, if the county ever came out and take a look at this, not only would they condemn it, but they might have Adult Protective Services take him away. And part of the thing that I realized in talking to him is, and this is kind of a stretch in a way, but his mental health is, he accepted that that was all he could have. He accepted that this was his normal. And I've actually run into that because Diane and I were involved in the biggest Christmas party for Jesus, which I think you remember Susie puts on every Christmas time. And we had maybe 1,500 to 2,000 homeless veterans. And homelessness becomes their normal. Living in that kind of squalor, living in those unhealthy conditions. And while we talked about, Dennis, we talked about that natural gas smell when they're burning the burners on the range to have heat. What about in the summertime when their air conditioning is not working And there's things like West Nile virus, mosquitoes. There's also mice and rats and all kinds of other things, and black mold, especially as much rain as we've had in North Texas lately. You're going to have big problems with black mold. And their mental health, I think, is so distorted that they accept that as normal. Like you say, it may
be their new reality.
Yeah. And so you're providing them with an environment of multi-levels that I heard you say, not only a clean, safe home to live in, which is critically important, but camaraderie, a structure, a participation in a community. That's critically important, man.
Yeah, you know what? You just reminded me of something I wanted to ask, Dennis. Jim shared with me that you're not military, but I'm wondering where your passion is coming from. What is it that's driving you in this direction to help veterans?
Well, I've always considered myself a passionate patriot. The story behind me and trying to join the military, they told me I was too tall for a fighter jet. And
wow.
they said you could fly a helicopter. And I said, no, it's just not the same thing. I had the Top Gun need for speed, right? And so I wound up not doing it. I wound up going into the nonprofit, and I've been doing nonprofit now for 25 years. But my dad served in Okinawa. I have a half brother, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Operation Iraqi Freedom. I have two uncles that one passed away in World War II. They both served in World War II. So I just consider myself a passionate patriot.
I got to tell you something funny. When I was in the Navy, we were an A-4 squadron. And, yes, John McCain was one of my pilots in my squadron, and I barely knew him, but I'd met him. But we came back to the States and got four TA-4 Skyhawks, which is the tandem seat A-4. And I volunteered to fly, and I went through training down at Miramar in ejection seat and jumping and all that jazz. And the one thing that kept saying to me is, you're a little bit tall, Jim. If you ever have to bail out of this thing, you're going to lose your kneecaps and you're going to get injured. And, you know, thank God I never had to bail out. But, boy, I'm telling you, those planes are not built for tall guys.
So that's what kept me out.
Well, I tell you what, you'd have made, look at it this way. You could have made a great SAR rescue swimmer, because as tall as you are, you could have flat ass flown across the water.
I say God had a different plan for me.
I'd say so, and he had a great plan. Well, let's go back, because we have people who are coming on board our ship throughout the program. We're talking with Dennis Llewellyn, Operation Tiny House Director. You can reach them at operationtinyhouse.org. Dennis, give out your phone number again so people can connect with you as they have in the past.
Absolutely, sir. 940-595-3949. Once again, 940-595-3949.
And basically, you're giving homeless people and people who are in, I'd say, desperate housing situations, a fresh start, a fresh chance.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's critically important.
Dennis,
it is. They've got to have that foundation. They've got to have that foundation to start everything else.
Dennis, I was wondering how much of a participation would you allow a veteran to participate in when it comes to being in the home? Trust me, they're going to want to get back very quickly.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Ron, because number one, we've got a couple of veterans. We have 52 veterans who have already applied for a tiny home through the Homeless Veteran Services of Dallas. And so we know, and we've interviewed several of them. Some of them have talent. Some of them have skills related to helping us either build these tiny houses or orchestrate the organization of the community. And so those guys are going to be heavily involved, but we're asking each of the veterans for sweat equity, whatever they can do in helping to build or make their home happen. If they're obviously physically disabled and not able to do that, then there'll be other ways they can contribute as well. But we're asking for each one of the veterans to help not only on their project, but also on the others, and pay it forward to keep this thing moving forward.
Very good.
I also like that what you said earlier about how you set this community up with some guidelines, with some accountability. I also, you talked about being part of the Texas Veterans Commission and the VA. So that tells me that you're going to have recovery rehabilitation programs going on within the community as well.
Yes, everything they need to get back on track, to get their lives where they want it to be, back to maybe a better reality than the one they're in currently.
And I think that's critical. You're not just providing housing, and you're not providing a housing like there are some great shelters here in Dallas, some great places. Dallas Life is one. Those have a limited, you can only be in that for like a year, I think, at Dallas Life.
Right.
So you're really walking in the door to a transitional situation that's creating a certain amount of instability. There's a certain amount of angst within that person knowing, hey, if I don't get through this at the end of the year, I'm done. I'm back out on the street. What you're talking about is no time limit, but participation in these programs, which is important, gives the veteran, gives that person a time to heal and a time to go forward. One of the other things, Ron, you and I were talking on the break, and we talked about children. Now, is this going to be these communities, will you be able to have like a mom with a couple of kids or a dad who's taking care of kids? Will you be able to incorporate activities and children into these communities, or have you thought through that?
Yes, it's been talked about, been discussed. And there will be an opportunity for that as well. The very first few that have come to us are really, you know, on their own. Gentlemen, most of them, I don't believe we've had more than one or two females come forward. But as the need is there, we will find that opportunity. And one of the guys was talking about his grandkids and, you know, how it would work with the tiny house and them coming to visit. And one of the thoughts we had was trying to have some housing nearby, like a bunkhouse or something, where if somebody did have family come, they could sit around in their tiny house, but then when it came time for sleeping, they'd have someplace else to go.
Oh, man, that's terrific. Ron?
Yeah, that reminds me of a question I have for you, Dennis, concerning those veterans who are seeking employment. I'm wondering, are you going to have an area set aside for organizations like ours, Texas Veterans Commission, and a veteran career advisor coming in and helping them with their resumes, interview techniques, business dress, things of that nature, just to help them get over those significant barriers to employment?
Absolutely. And you guys work with Ken Watterson and the VRC down there, the Homeless Veteran Services of Dallas and the Veteran Resource Center, and that's exactly who we're working with as well.
Outstanding. Man, this is exciting.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I want to come back to another thing, because I touched on something that you were very, very much involved in, the Gunny Sergeant Lee Ermey golf tournament. That's coming up Saturday, October 13th. People will be able to meet you out there, won't they?
Well, October 13th, I'm trying to remember. I'm hoping to be able to be available for that one. I do know Chuck has asked me to come out to that one. And we may be able to have a little display out there and have a table where people come up and find out more information about our program.
Okay, and people can find out more about the program because they can go to the veteranforces.com. That's www.veteranforces.com and find out about that golf tournament, which also I believe you guys are a beneficiary of that, or one of the beneficiaries, correct?
The Homeless Veteran Services of Dallas, yes, and the great Ken Watterson and his crew are definitely beneficiaries of that, and we benefit from that as well.
All right, tell you what let's do. Let's go have a few words from our sponsors and our friends and come back and wrap up talking with Dennis Llewellyn. Operation Tiny House, bringing homelessness to an end and helping with mental health and employment. So this is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams. We'll be back on this ship in just a few minutes. So stay with us, join us, and We are Alliance for the Brave.
Colonel John Intel, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea. A trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, Anthony Kim, Del Harris, so many people, former Dallas Cowboys, have given of their time to be a part of Nancy Lieberman Charity's Celebrity Golf Classic. Nancy Lieberman here. This day is certainly about friends, it's about fun, but it's also about philanthropy and giving. At our Golf Classic, your contributions, they benefit children that are served by us. We've sent 44 high school seniors to college the last 7 years. We've built 62 dream courts around the country, 25 in the Metroplex. So that's where your contributions go to. You get to high-five kids that you're helping and watch them receive iPads that will help them excel in the classroom. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancylieberman charities.org and be a part of our team.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entel, U.S. Army retired.
Don't bet on strategies, bet on people. Leaders make the difference. If it was just up to strategy, if it was just a mathematical equation, if 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, you don't need a leader. The problem is in complex situations, particularly in wicked situations. Leaders make the difference. Wicked problems are such that can only be solved by leaders with insight. Therefore, leaders must know and must be able to accomplish whatever the task is. You must pick leaders who can do this. You bet on leaders. You don't bet on strategies. You bet on people. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Well, we're about to bring this ship into port for this hour. Next hour, we're going to have Colonel John Antal talking about 9/11 in Benghazi, because this is the week that we need to be thinking about what happened way back when. But right now, we're talking with Dennis Llewellyn, good friend of mine, Operation Tiny House Director. I think it's so important what you're bringing to our community. And then this is a program that you guys are focused on getting it expanded nationwide, correct?
Well, let's do Dallas today. Let's do DFW tomorrow, and then we'll see about the nation a little bit later on, Jim. But I do hope that the idea spreads, especially making sure that each of the veterans has a role, a responsibility, and accountability in these veteran camps, communities, and villages that we're going to be creating.
And Dennis, I had one last question for you concerning the public involvement. In what ways would you like to see the public help out in your endeavor?
Ron, thank you so much. We have so many ways people can help. If somebody has skill and they want to come help out, we take individuals. If somebody has a church group or an alumni group or a company that wants to come out and sponsor a work day and a build day, they can do that. People like Home Depot come forward with materials and volunteerism, and they help out. Companies like Chesmar Homes come forward with the knowledge and the skill to be able to really help us and put these things together and design them a little bit more efficiently, and folks like that help out. And just the other day, we had a lady reach out to us, a widow, who wants to help us monetarily. And so we need that as well, because it takes operational dollars to keep things going as well. So
Right. Whether
it's money, materials, manpower, any of those things, and also connections to other groups that are helping, any of those things can help us make this a reality even faster.
And along those same lines, if you can give out your contact information one more time.
Absolutely. So the email is tinyhousesforvets, that's all spelled out, tinyhousesforvets@gmail.com. And then also my phone number is 940-595-3949. 940-595-3949. And they can find out more information, any of your listeners, at Tiny Houses, OperationTinyHouses.org.
Let me throw one other thing out, because we've talked about monetary, we've talked about land, we've talked about materials, we've talked about physical. I would like to recommend the public, people get involved by going to these websites, finding out about these tiny houses, listening, hearing about the community, and getting behind it. One of the most important things I have ever seen is down in Waco, Texas, One Stop, and how effective that is as a Veterans Resource Center. You know why it may be the most effective Veterans Resource Center? Ron, I'm going to tell you, it's because of the community involvement. So one of the things I would highly recommend, you may not have the manpower, you may not have the time, you may not have the money, but find out about this type of ending homelessness and how actually this could benefit a community by providing those veterans who are mentors, who are leaders, and can help. I think it's really important that people find out, get to know, and support. And if you have questions, if you have the attitude, wait a minute, I'm not sure I want this in my community, find out what it is. Meet the people involved. Let's get the public behind this kind of program. It's not just a place to live. It is a way to recover. And that's what I think is so important. That's where, for instance, Reverend Bob Sweeney has taken Dallas Life, as a homeless shelter to a recovery place. What I hear you saying is with the Veterans Administration, with the Texas Veterans Commission, with the community, faith-based, and otherwise in the military veteran community, we're talking about recovery. We're talking about completely changing people's perspective by giving them a solid place to live, a community to participate in, and a program to be involved in. Wouldn't you say, Ron?
Oh, yes, most definitely. And that's why I was asking all the questions as far as the involvement, because I would definitely like to get my fraternity out there. It's a military fraternity, Dennis, and we like to give back to the community and help out in endeavors such as this. So I'm going to be calling you offline and perhaps get with you early next week and find out how we can participate as well.
And that fraternity is such a fantastic group. It's open to all veterans.
Yes. To race, creed, color, it doesn't matter. Come on. If you're a veteran, come on aboard.
How about a fat old guy?
Come on.
We can use All right. Dennis, thank you very much for being on board with Alliance for the Brave today. We'll be right back after these words from all of our partners with information about September 11th. Remembering September 11th with one of my closest friends, Colonel John Antal. So, Dennis, thank you for being on board. Ron, thank you for helping me. Stick around, buddy. This next hour is going to be special, talking about September 11th. And we've got a lot of people to thank for that as well that have been involved. So this is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams. We're inviting you to come back on board our ship as we pull out in the next hour on Alliance for the Brave. So stick around. We're here for you with education, information, and communication. And stay with us for Alliance for the Brave.
News, talk, weather, sports. This is 1160 AM KBDT, Highland Park, Dallas-Fort Worth. Big D Talk. The news starts now.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is reacting to a critical speech made by former President Barack Obama in Illinois. USA's Robin Walensky reports.
I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep. I found he's very good for sleeping.
President Trump entertaining the patriotic crowd at a rally in North Dakota as he mocks former President Obama, who came out swinging at him during a speech at the University of Illinois. President Trump campaigning for Senate candidate Republican Kevin Cramer in North Dakota, while Obama trying to get Democrats out to vote.
It did not start with Donald Trump. He is a symptom, not the cause. He's just capitalizing on resentments that politicians have been fanning for years.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want a more honest media? Hello, my name is Robert Farrow, and I've grown tired of shadow banning, censorship, and one-sided reporting from today's news and social media companies. That's why my team created RightToVoice.com. We don't push aside. That's right. The number two, and voice. We don't push a side. We include all the sides so you can make a choice in what you read and say and what appears on your wall. And we respect your privacy and don't sell your data. RightToVoice.com. It's the only place where you'll get all the news. It's usually one click to join, so check us out today. RightToVoice.com. We don't push a side. That's right, the number two, and voice. We don't push a side. We include all the sides so you can make a choice in what you read and say and what appears on your wall. And we respect your privacy and don't sell your data. RightToVoice.com.
A Dallas police officer faces manslaughter charges for shooting and killing a neighbor. She mistakenly entered his apartment instead of her own and thought he was an intruder. Police Chief Renee Hall.
A blood sample was drawn to test the officer's level for drugs or alcohol.
She says they intend to make the investigation as transparent as possible. 26-year-old Botham Shem Jean is being remembered as a devout and joyful man. Right now, Florence is a tropical storm, but not for long. National Hurricane Center meteorologist Stacy Stewart.
Florence's winds are 65 miles per hour, but they will get stronger. Eventually, it'll achieve hurricane force wind strength of 75 miles per hour, probably sometime late tonight or early Sunday morning.
The forecast has Florence making landfall somewhere between North Florida and North Carolina late next week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The people who put together the Oscars have made a big announcement. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
And the Oscar goes to...
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences says it's postponing introduction of the new popular Oscar category that it was going to introduce at its upcoming 91st Academy Awards on February 24th. The Academy says in a statement that it's recognized that implementing any new award 9 months into the year creates challenges for films that have already been released. The Board of Governors says it will continue to actively engage in discussion and will seek input regarding the category going forward, but it's already been receiving plenty of unsolicited input from many in the industry who are questioning what a popular award criteria would be. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Fans of 60s and 70s TV will remember Bill Daly as Larry Hagman's sidekick on I Dream of Jeannie.
I think we're in trouble.
Sledgehammer, sledgehammer.
And he also played the goofy airline navigator Howard Borden on The Bob Newhart Show.
Hi, Howard. Back from Tokyo already?
Yeah, I just got back this minute. I'm surprised you didn't hear me. I flew right over the building.
His son says Daly died at his home in New Mexico. He was 91 years old. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our active military, veterans, and first responders. Presented by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. Tune in, join in, and plug in with us on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave.
In the air, everywhere, around the world, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, where we bring education, information, and communication to our active military, our first responders, and veterans throughout North America. I'm Jim Blythe, U.S. Navy veteran, certified senior advisor. Joining me, my partner, crime and or evil, Ron Abrams, U.S. Army. Good morning, Ron.
Morning, sir. Morning.
And I tell you what, we're very fortunate to have the beautiful Miss Robin Valtudo, the executive director, founder, and the only lady I have ever worked with that can do a backward somersault on a football stadium.
Well, I almost did one of those by accident the other day.
Uh-oh.
It was not a good thing.
Not good.
Guys, so great to be back on the air with you. Incredible first hour interview with our dear friend Dennis Llewellyn. Just making such a great impact, not just in our community, but for the well-being of our veterans. And we just love you so much, Dennis. Thank you for all that you do, all that you sacrifice. And Ron, I was so glad that you had him share his story of connection.
Oh, yes.
His passion. We need to hear that. So many people want to do something that have never served. They may not even have any military service in their mm-hmm. background, but they see the reports, they see what's happening, but they just don't know how to go about helping. And sharing these spotlight stories like what people like Dennis are doing
right.
is just such a great way to get people connected. So excellent, excellent interview. And Jim, if you don't mind, I just want to do a little bit of praise. This week at Tarrant County College, you guys know I work in higher education and I have the wonderful opportunity to actually develop certificate programs in the workforce. And I have a lot of veterans and first responders in one of my upholstery programs. And it launches Monday. We just transitioned to our South Campus, rebuilt our lab. My adjunct professor, Mr. Sed Lacey, who's tuning in for the first time today. He's also another incredible advocate in the community, doing great things for those in need. He was with me at the college so late last night. We left at 12:30 this morning. But we are ready to go for Monday. We had an unfortunate situation happen where a lot of our materials miraculously disappeared. And that was just a week ago. So we've been in panic mode trying to get all of our vendors to come back and donate these materials back to us. And so quick shout out of praise and thanks so much to Robinson Aircraft Custom Interiors out there in Fort Worth. Also, Anzia Custom Fabrics, beautiful fabrics coming in from all over the world, made an incredible donation to us. And also, Kisebeth Custom Furnishings made a huge donation to us just this week. So something
that's good news. I thought you were going to say you made Chancellor or something, you know?
That would be even better, right? But something that just could have completely destroyed our opportunity to launch on Monday, these vendors stepped up with no hesitation. Thank you, and to my team at Tarrant County College. We're ready to go.
Well, thank you, Robin. And you've also got a special shout-out to a friend of yours who is a Coast Guard captain who was actually at the 9/11 site.
Yeah, yes, and not just at the site. He was one of the military first responders that was at Ground Zero. He was underneath the towers. He is one of very few that are still alive today, and he's only 51. He's become the love of my life, who is actually on deployment. So I also, you guys, have now a part of that military culture of the better halves being at home with no communication. This is my first time to go through that. And let me tell you, Colonel Antal, it is a whole nother ball game than just bringing a story of a spouse or a significant other to the airways to talk about how they've made their family work with all these deployments. It is just so different. So anyways, prayers and blessings out to his team that they come home safely. And yes, Jim, he was one of those that served at Ground Zero. In fact, 9/11 every year, as he's alive, he gets an alive card, like a birthday card, because so many of those first responders, whether military or fire police, have died serving at that time because of inhaling all of the smoke and fumes and chemicals and just the aftermath of so many years later of that on their health.
Well, you just mentioned a very dear friend of mine and a partner to this program that we probably lean on a whole lot more than he's, you know, we should. But Colonel Antal, you are without a doubt one of the most fascinating historians. You've authored several books about leadership. You're involved right now in the West Coast in some of the leadership of the Army. You have a distinguished background in history. And we were talking about September 11th, and we didn't have anybody anywhere near as qualified as you are who understands all aspects of that. So welcome on board, Colonel John Antal, and let's talk about what happened September the 11th.
Well, thank you, Jim and Robin and Ron, and it's great to be here today. And
John Antal, and let's talk about,
quite frankly, I am unworthy of the honor that you just gave me, because, you know, I can remember very clearly where I was on 9/11. And I think most Americans can too, who were alive and of age to understand. And I think that what we need to do is we need to realize that in a couple of days will be another anniversary. You know, and you'll see on TV the bells chiming in New York, and you'll see a ceremony in a Pennsylvania field, and you'll see a flag. And some ceremonies in the Pentagon area. But this was the first time in modern times, ever since basically the War of 1812, that the United States had been attacked. And thousands of our citizens killed. And you have to ask why. You know, why did this happen? You know, is it because we're wealthy, because we're a successful nation? Not really. Some people might think that, but that's not the real reason. Was it because, we have great animosity for some people in the Middle East or some other place? Not really. That's not what happened. The problem is in the world is there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of hatred in the world, and there's a lot of hatred in places that have failed, places where they don't understand why they live so badly. And living badly isn't about just your money. It's about also your spirit. And so what happened was is they attacked us on 9/11 primarily because of what we represent. You know, to the world, we represent liberty. We represent the opportunity for people to rise to the level of their merit, to do the best that they can and be the best that they can be if they wish to do so. Sure, we have problems and we have challenges and we're not perfect, but here, better than any other place on earth, you have the opportunity to rise to the level of your merit. And it's because of the great gift our founding fathers gave us in a struggle for liberty during the American Revolutionary War, and the concept that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. That in fact, what we are about is the opportunity for people to be free of all nations, of all, you know, colors, of all creeds. Anyone who wants to come to be an American can be an American. And one of the things that we've done too much lately is we've talked too much about things that divide us versus things that should unite us. You know, I want to hear more about Americans. I want us all to join together as Americans, as we did on 9-1-1. You know, the day that that happened, I was getting ready to teach a class to about 800 officers about asymmetric warfare. And I had just stopped a film that I was going to show at the right point so that I could have it ready to go about the attack on Pearl Harbor. And when I switched that off the TV went on because it was the way that the system worked. And I saw the second airplane hit the tower. And at that point, I had no idea what was going on. And then shortly after that, the alarm went off on our post. I alerted my cavalry regiment, and we went out and secured the area. And we were in the field basically for the next 90 days, considering security issues and worrying about what happened if another attack had occurred somewhere around the U.S. So people must think about what that was like, remember what that was like, and then understand why it happened. Why it happened is because here in America, we have freedom. We have national freedom. We have political freedom. And we have individual freedom as guaranteed by our Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Colonel Antal, let me ask you a question. When you're talking about the why, one of the things I've observed by being a partial student of history, in order to have a dictatorship, in order to have an authoritarian government, they really need to have a demon to blame all of their problems on to be that adversary that they use to emotionally whip up the people. So part of what you're saying that I remember is that we are the evil demon. We are the terrible, oppressive, imperialistic country, which we're really not. We own no property in the world other than the cemeteries in France and in the East. And I think that we were basically that demon that people who were Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and other dictators used to oppress their own people.
Well, there's a lot to be said to that, Jim. I believe that there are two major forces in the world. There's power and there's liberty. You know, there is no left and right like we talk about. There's only up and down. There's up toward liberty and freedom for individuals and freedom for people so they can rise to the level of their merit. And there's down toward autocracy, toward dictatorship and the rule of by czars and kings and emperors and dictators. And what happens is one of the things that you mentioned is the idea that that power has many different levers. And one of those levers is that you can get people to be passionate about hating someone else so they can forget who they are and give themselves up to you. But power has many levers. And in the history of our world, power has been the ruling force. That's why America is exceptional. This is one of the reasons we were attacked. You see, if you look at the long line of history and you looked at autocracy and power being in charge, the long line of history would be dark because power is always in charge. And if power represents the darkness, then you see that kings and czars and rulers of different kinds who have had complete control over people have ruled throughout most of human history. And then you see these little bright spots along that line, like the bright spot that happened for a short period of time, 70 years only, in Athens, ancient Athens. You know, where for the first time in human history, people thought that they should be able to elect people to represent them, and so that everybody had a vote in a democracy. Those are the things that they attacked us for, that liberty.
You know, Colonel Antal, we're going to come back after the word from our partners, and I want to ask you some other questions about why it was the World Trade Center that got attacked and not other strategic targets. There was one other strategic target, the Pentagon. But let's come back after these words from our partners and discuss that, because this is really important. And I got to tell you, I was making breakfast watching Good Morning America when that happened, and I saw that plane hit. I'll never forget that as long as I can live. And I bet you that each one of us will have a story about that when we come back. So this is Jim Blythe, Colonel John Antall, Ron Abrams, the beautiful Miss Robin Valtudo. We are Alliance for the Brave, and we will be right back. So stay with us.
Colonel John Antall, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is the trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea, a trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Antall. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, Anthony Kim, Del Harris, so many people, former Dallas Cowboys, have given of their time to be a part of Nancy Lieberman Charity's Celebrity Golf Classic. Nancy Lieberman here. This day is certainly about friends, it's about fun, but it's also about philanthropy and giving. At our Golf Classic, your contributions, they benefit children that are served by us. We've sent 44 high school seniors to college the last 7 years. We've built 62 dream courts around the country, 25 in the Metroplex. So that's where your contributions go to. You get to high-five kids that you're helping and watch them receive iPads that will help them excel in the classroom. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancylieberman charities.org and be a part of our team.
This is Jim Blythe, your host for Alliance for the Brave. I work for Homebridge Financial Services Mortgage Company, and we're one of the top mortgage lenders in the nation. We're offering to our listeners a special promotion. Homebridge is offering $500 off your closing costs to our listeners who use the promo code A4B. That's A and the number 4B. Just call 833-4-MY-VA-LOAN. That's 833, the number 4-MY-VA-LOAN. Or visit our website at homebridge.com. My NMLS number is 311-548. And our Homebridge company NMLS is 6521. Our address is 194 Wood Avenue South, 9th floor, Island, New Jersey, 08830. We are an equal opportunity lender, and we love veterans and want to help you with your home loan financing needs. Jim Blythe with Homebridge. You can also go to my website at AllianceForTheBrave.com.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Antall, U.S. Army retired.
Leaders pull. Bosses push. Every one of us has had a boss. You don't like to be pushed. Americans don't like to be pushed. Texans particularly don't like to be pushed. Remember, as a leader, if you push people, they're going to resist. Try to pull them instead. Leaders pull. Bosses push. Leaders bring people to them. Leaders bring people to them and inspire them and get them to do things because they want to do it. Leaders pull. Bosses push. I'm Colonel John Antall, American-Leadership.com.
Listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network, honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Get that cup of coffee and welcome to the bridge of this radio ship as we sail talking about 9/11 with Colonel John Antall. Joining me, Ron Abrams, Texas Veterans Commission, U.S. Army, and Robin Valtudo. What a great team. I get all of my partners here with me today. I can't get better than that.
I look forward to this every single Saturday. And Jim, I just do want to do a quick thing. Guys, please visit our Facebook page, Alliance for the Brave. Check out everything that is going on with the Veterans Film Fest today and tomorrow. Thanks to Kim Francis for cluing us into all that cool stuff going on in film.
Colonel Antal, let's wrap up the why in this short segment before we go to the half-hour break, because it's really important. And then you've got some great things that you want to talk about going forward after that. So I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, thank you, Jim. The question most of us had on 9/11 and then in the years that followed was, you know, why us? Why did they attack us? And earlier I talked about how they attacked us because we represent something that is about change. We change the world with our concept of liberty, our concept that in the United States of America, you have the greatest opportunity of any place on earth to rise to the level of your merit, to live in a country that has the greatest amount of possible freedom. Now, we can lose that freedom. We saw how on 9/11, many of our fellow countrymen, our fellow citizens, were killed and lost everything because of hatred, because of the hatred of the terrorists. And they hate us because we change their world. You see, our idea of liberty changes people's ideas, and they fear that greater than more than anything else. For instance, in the Middle East, women do not have equal rights. That scares them to have women to have equal rights. In many of those nations, women don't have an opportunity to participate in the political discourse. They don't have a chance to vote if there is any voting at all. In many cases, they're treated very badly, and children the same way, and many other things. So you see that we change their world by our ideas. We are, as Thomas Jefferson said, an empire of ideas. And our ideas spread across the world, and it changes them. And it changes power, and that's the problem. Because power has always ruled in the past. Power has always been the key element of human existence. And those who wield power do not give it up. They do not give it up lightly. And they will fight and kill you if you try to change that calculus. So on 9/11, we saw a flame of hatred try to change the calculus, but it didn't. It didn't change the calculus. We are here today. We are strong. We are the United States of America. We believe in our Constitution and liberty, and although we have our difficulties and our differences, you know, we should be all working to pull together. We are, in fact, a united country in many ways. We just have to remember that, and remember that sometimes when you look at the entire world and the history of mankind, the history of humankind, you see that we are truly exceptional in the opportunities that we have here and our abilities to make this world better for us, our children, and our grandchildren. So 9/11 should be a lesson learned to everyone, a lesson learned that talks about the difference between liberty and power, the difference between those who hate and those who love, the difference between what we have in this world and what we could have. We need to continue to struggle and be strong and to remember that because we are exceptional, many people on this earth would love to see us fall apart, would love to see us be so divided that we collapse, would love to see us lose our influence in the world, because our influence and our ideas are changing things. And if we want to have a better world, then we need to stay strong to those ideals that brought us together as a nation. And those ideals are simply best put in our Declaration of Independence.
So well stated, Colonel Antal.
All right, we're going to be right back after this word from all of our partners with Colonel John Antal, and we're going to be talking about the lessons learned. So thank you for being on board our ship. Ron Abrams, Director of Employment, TVC. We're going to talk about how people can get a hold of you for employment. Ron, I am so thankful that you're always here, especially for the goodies this morning, buddy.
Yes, thank
Enjoy.
You so much.
Colonel Antal, it's always a blessing to have you on board, and your minutes that you put to us are absolutely terrific. And Robin, thank you for being here. Talking about education as well, what a key factor in mental health. So this is Jim Blythe with the Dream Team of Alliance for the Brave. We'll be right back after these words from our partners.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is reacting to a critical speech made by former President Barack Obama in Illinois. USA's Robin Walensky reports.
I'm sorry I watched it, but I fell asleep. I found he's very good. Very good for sleeping.
President Trump entertaining the patriotic crowd at a rally in North Dakota as he mocks former President Obama, who came out swinging at him during a speech at the University of Illinois. President Trump campaigning for Senate candidate Republican Kevin Cramer in North Dakota, while Obama trying to get Democrats out to vote.
It did not start with Donald Trump. He is a symptom, not the cause. He's just capitalizing on resentments that politicians have been fanning for years.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Pudge Rodriguez, Anthony Kim, Del Harris, so many people, former Dallas Cowboys, have given of their time to be a part of Nancy Lieberman Charity's Celebrity Golf Classic. Nancy Lieberman here. This day is certainly about friends, it's about fun, but it's also about philanthropy and giving. At our Golf Classic, your contributions, they benefit children that are served by us. We've sent 44 high school seniors to college the last 7 years. We've built 62 dream courts around the country, 25 in the Metroplex. So that's where your contributions go to. You get to high-five kids that you're helping and watch them receive iPads that will help them excel in the classroom. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancylibermancharities.org and be a part of our team.
Colonel John Antel, U.S. Army, retired.
I served many years in Korea in the United States Army. You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea. Our trip will take place from 17 through 24 October 2018, and I'll be there to be your guide for the entire time. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. We'll explore the national security issues involving the current situation in Korea. If you want to learn what's going on, this is a trip you want to come on. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. We'll also have a chance to see the North Korean invasion tunnels and learn a lot about the security situation in Korea. You'll experience Korean culture, dine in some of the best restaurants in the world, and much, much more. Seoul, Korea is one of the biggest and most modern cities in the world. Join me on this trip. 17 through 24 October, we're going to go to Korea, a trip of a lifetime.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Entel. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
This is Jim Blythe, your host for Alliance for the Brave. I work for Homebridge Financial Services Mortgage Company, and we're one of the top mortgage lenders in the nation. We're offering to our listeners a special promotion. Homebridge is offering $500 off your closing costs to our listeners who use the promo code A4B. That's A in the number 4B.
Just call 833-4-MY-VA-LOAN. That's 833, the number 4, MY-VA-LOAN. Or visit our website at homebridge.com. My NMLS number is 311-548. And our Homebridge Company NMLS is 6521. Our address is 194 Wood Avenue South, 9th floor, Island, New Jersey, 08830. We are an equal opportunity lender, and we love veterans and want to help you with your home loan financing needs. Jim Blythe with Homebridge. You can also go to my website at allianceforthebrave.com.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Entell, U.S. Army retired.
Leaders eat last. This is a metaphor that is very important for leadership. It is all about understanding how to lead. You put your people first. Simple things like food. If you're at a company picnic, at a company party, and the boss comes in, he fills his plate up, and he goes first. And the last person in only has salad. That person who had salad will never forget it. Leaders eat last. You take care of your people first, and then you take care of yourself. I'm Colonel John Antel, American-Leadership.com.
Today's program is brought to you by Homebridge Financial Services and Gear Services Web Design. Visit us on Facebook or online at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now back to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network.
You bet. Tie yellow ribbon around the mast of this radio ship, bringing you around the world information and communication. With me today, Colonel John Entell, Ron Abrams, and Robin Valtudo, the dream team of Alliance for the Brave. Colonel Entell, one of the most important things that we've talked about is basically going forward, the flashpoints of today.
Yeah, the interesting thing that happened on 9/11, you know, we were attacked. The question we have is, what can we learn from this? What are the lessons learned? And there are many, but one of the things we must do is we must start looking forward to checking out the rest of the world so that we can have greater situation awareness. So every so often on this radio show, I'll be talking about the flashpoints that are occurring around the world. And this will be an opportunity for our team here to discuss some of the issues that could become major headlines in the news or major disruptors that most people aren't thinking about, because right now we're so wrapped up in our internal politics. I mean, most people who are watching the news can tell you about the hearings for the SCOTUS, for the issues with the political campaigns, but they can't tell you what's going on in the world too much, because we just don't, those headlines are not breaking through. So let me talk to you about four major areas that I think are really important, and I'll talk first about the Russians. So, Jim, you have any experience with the Russians?
Only food-wise. Never been there, but I know there is giant contradictions within their national politics and their world, but they have gone from being our best friend to our worst enemy to our best friend, and now it's somewhere in between.
Yeah, I don't think they were ever our best friends. You know, I have a story that impacted me profoundly. I was traveling to the Pentagon because I was a special assistant to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and my aircraft was delayed, and I had to go to the airport in Maryland rather than fly into D.C. So I had to get back to the Pentagon, and so I took a taxi. As I got into the taxi driver was a Russian. And I speak Russian, so I said, "Привет, you know, как дела? How are you?" And I said, "Good to meet you." And we started talking, and I said, "You know, it's I hope." And this was just as the Cold War had come down. This was like 19, you know, the Cold War had really started coming down in the 1990s, but this was 1999. And I said, "I really hope that with some of the things we've seen, with some of the cooperation that Russia and America's had, that we can get together as a people, because we have so much in common." And now we had had a lively conversation before this, but there was this deadly silence. And the silence lasted for about 2 minutes, which is a long time in a taxi cab when you've been talking to a guy back and forth and he's very animated. This guy had been a colonel in the Russian rocket forces.
Wow.
Now he's a taxi cab driver.
Wow.
And he said, you don't understand. The people in power there hate you. Mm. They'll never like you. They'll never, ever, ever be able to be someone you can trust. And I said, oh, come on, that can't be true. And we argued a bit. But he was so sure of himself. And it always hit me, and I was always concerned. Now, you saw the rise of Putin in Russia. You know, and Russia, since the fall of the Soviet Union, has been an up-and-down roller coaster of chaos. So for the Russian people, the idea that rule that the a law and order is maintained, that in fact there's a strong man in charge that gives them their prestige as a national power, something that is very important to the Russians and anyone, but particularly to the Russian people after they've been basically humiliated, as they see it, from the fall of the Soviet Union in the Cold War. Putin has taken power, and of course now he is going to be czar for life, and no one will ever be able to unseat him unless they kill him. So he's there, and he's building power, and what he has done in the last 15 years is revitalize and revamp the Russian military to an extent that we have not seen anywhere else in the world, and they become a major conventional threat and also nuclear threat to us. Their weaponry now is very sophisticated. The Russians have always been good at building weapons, and they've put all of their brains and all their energy into this. Right now, most of you don't know, but there's an exercise called Vostok 2018, and this is an exercise that is larger in scale than the D-Day invasion.
I was going to ask you about that because it's in the press, and it's huge. Yeah. And isn't it bordering right on Germany?
Well, no, it's actually in the east. Vostok is Russian for the east, and it is there right now. There, it's in the area that is. If you look at this map, the Transbaikal, which is Russia, Mongolia, and China.
Oh, so it's way out there near China,
and that's why this is all done in an area.
And Colonel, we'll show that to our Facebook viewers.
Yeah, sure. This is all done in an area that is very open, so they can do these large live fire exercises. But the Russians have almost 300,000 plus troops there. Some say 350,000.
Whoa!
Exercising now, what this means is that they're conducting large scale operational maneuvers. So now you have divisions and corps and armies involved in learning how to plan, move, fuel, feed, camp, get ready to fight, all of these things. So these kind of exercises are vital if you're going to do something. Now, there's two reasons to do these exercises. One, they're exercising with China. So there's over 3,500 Chinese involved with their tanks and with their aircraft, and so they're working together. So the Chinese and Russians are showing the West that they are strong together, and that they're cooperating together. Now, we shouldn't, pull our hair out right now because they're having an exercise. But what we should do is we should understand what it means. It means one of two things, or actually two things. It means, one, they are sharpening their saber so that their military capabilities could be used if they need to in a much better, much more effective way. And they can use these exercises in the future to mask large-scale movements. Because if they continue to do exercises that nothing happens afterwards, then they become the opportunity for the tactics of mistake. The idea that, oh, well, they had those exercises before and nothing happened. But when you march 300,000 people onto the border, that's a big deal. In World War I, that would be the reason for the start of World War I, the mobilization of forces.
Colonel Antle, how do they perceive our military exercises?
Well, our military exercises are on nowhere near the scale that the Russians are doing right now with the Chinese in Vostok 2018. Our largest exercises are multinational and usually done on computers. So we do a lot of computer exercises and a lot of map drills, basically. Modern terms are now computers versus just maps. But we don't do the kind of major exercises that we used to do. Back in the 1970s and 60s, 70s, and 80s, long time ago for most of you, we were involved in a thing called Reforger, where we would bring
Return of forces from Germany.
Exactly right, where we would bring all these units over to Germany because Europe had been the cause of two wars, both World War I and World War II, and we had 18 divisions in the U.S. Army, and eight of those divisions were permanently stationed in Germany. Today we have less than 10 divisions, and we have no divisions stationed in Germany. We have units that brigades, which are one quarter of a division, one-third of the combat power division, that move to Europe on a rotational basis, and we have one right now in Poland, one brigade. Now, if the Russians were to launch an attack anywhere in Western Europe, and you say, oh, come on, who would do that in these modern times? Mm-hmm. What's interesting is I was studying the 1940 German invasion of France, and the French were saying, in these modern times, no one goes to war anymore. This won't happen. That can happen in Poland, but it won't happen where we are. We're a modern country, and we have these great defenses, and that would just never happen. Well, what happened, if you ever watched the movie Dunkirk or some of the recent things with Winston Churchill, The Darkest Hour, and others, you're seeing how Europe was absolutely thrown into pandemonium and shock, much like how we felt on 9/11, stunned, if you will, when the Germans attacked France in 1940. And in 3 weeks, they defeated France, the greatest military power on earth. So the point is that there are things happening in the world, and in flashpoints, what we'll talk about is to bring those to the front so that everybody can see some of the issues. Now, this big exercise in the East is not aimed at invading Japan, but it is also an interesting thing to show North Korea that they have friends on their borders. Don't forget, Russia and China both border North Korea. So the North Korean situation is interesting because right now we've stopped moving toward more talks with them and meeting with them more, the North Koreans more, because they haven't done anything to show us that they've denuclearized.
Well, I was going to ask you, from your perspective, how has President Trump impacted our relations?
Well, he's done a superb job at changing the calculus in a positive way. He's brought Kim Jong-un to the table. He's got a situation where no missiles have been fired and no nuclear tests have been done. That is a victory in itself. But we expected to have a list of nuclear sites and a list of nuclear materials and a plan to denuclearize. They have not moved toward that. Now, internally, some of our advisors are saying it's very difficult for the North Korean leader to do that because if he moves too rapidly, some of his generals might say this is wrong, take him out, and therefore he would lose, and then we would have a dictatorship that would be against any kind of denuclearization in North Korea. Kim has been killing almost everyone who opposes him, so that's a kind of an iffy game. But the bottom line is with North Korea is that they haven't done as much as we've wanted to do, so we are backing off the negotiations and still keeping up the sanctions. Now, on the 6th of September, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said, oh, don't worry, I plan to denuclearize in the next 2 years. You've got my word, my promise.
In the next 2 years?
Yeah. Well, before President Trump first term is finished, is what he said. So that's interesting.
Interesting.
Which was an olive branch to President Trump and an olive branch to us, the Americans and also the South Koreans, that in fact progress will be made. Just give me some time. Now, this is the constant playbook, though, of the North Koreans. They will always say one thing, lie to you, and then change. Mm-hmm. And they've done that consistently since North Korea was a country. So we have to be very clear-eyed in how we deal with the North Koreans. But right now, the Chinese and the Russians have the major exercises going on in that region showing that they have power. So that bolsters Kim's psyche because those are his allies. And if he was to decide to not denuclearize or even to launch an attack onto the South, he might think that he has all these friends in the region. Now, that is not imminent right now, not something that we expect to have happen. We do expect North Korea to play a game with us over denuclearization. But I think that eventually we will get them to denuclearize because our sanctions are so strong.
Colonel Antal, very quickly as we go to break, Jim, what do you suggest as new sites that are very viable and not as biased for just everyday people to be paying attention to?
Well, one of the things they can look at is the Voice of America. You might say that's biased, but actually it's pretty clear, open news, and that has some really interesting international sites.
Okay, very good.
All right, we're going to be back in a few minutes with Colonel John Antal. One of the things that, Colonel, I'd like for you to elaborate on is power and how important that is to some of these cultures and saving face. I think that's an interesting thing that you mentioned. And again, these other places to get news like Voice of America.
And so, Jim, and then also we're going to get an update, Colonel Antal, on the trip, the U.S. Korea trip to Seoul, Korea.
All right, yes. We'll be right back after these words. And this is Alliance for the Brave.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by Grapevine Power Sports. In 1889, the J.E. Faust store opens on Main Street. It's now Grapevine's oldest remaining brick building. Eggs sell for 10 cents per dozen. Butter is 20 cents per pound. And chickens are $2.50 a dozen.
I'm Aaron McWhorter with Grapevine Power Sports. When I bought the dealership, I came in to buy a four-wheeler. They were a freestanding Kawasaki dealership. And I said, Dennis, I don't mean to pry. Are you interested in selling this place? And he said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but we're fixing to put it on the market. I said, Dennis, I'll take it. In the last 3 years, we've done 60% increase. The mayor's a customer of mine. The city manager is a customer of mine. A lot of friends that live here still. The small town feel right in the middle of the big metroplex.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today. Colonel John Antal, U.S. Army, retired.
You are invited to join me on an amazing and fun leadership experience to Seoul, Korea from 17 through 24 October 2018. We'll stay at the beautiful Dragon Hill Hotel in Yongsan in Seoul, Korea. Visit the Demilitarized Zone, the Truce Talk Village, and we're also going to see where the North and South Korean leaders just met this past April. Join me on this trip. We're going to go to Korea.
Visit Korea with military historian Colonel John Antal. Find out more. Go to AllianceForTheBrave.com.
Over the years, stars like Annika Sorenstam, Hud Rodriguez, and Anthony Kim have enjoyed themselves at the Nancy Lieberman Charities Celebrity Golf Classic. This is Nancy. This day is about friends, fun, and philanthropy. At this tournament, your contributions benefit the children served by Nancy Lieberman Charities. Join us Monday, September 17th at the Lakes at Castle Hills. For more information, visit nancylibermancharities.org and be a part of our team.
And now a moment of leadership with Colonel John Antal, U.S. Army retired.
Simplify, simplify, simplify. Leaders must simplify. They must understand the problem and simplify it so they can communicate it. If the idea is too complex, if the communication is too lengthy, nothing gets done. Leaders have to simplify the issues, make them clear to everyone they lead, and then get them to do what is necessary to accomplish the mission. I'm Colonel John Antal, American-Leadership.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave on the USA Radio Network and around the globe on Armed Forces Radio Network. Honoring, serving, and empowering those who serve our great country in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by Gear Services Web Design and Homebridge Financial Services. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back. Ron, you got a question that you wanted to pose to Colonel Antal?
Indeed, I do. This has been on my mind the whole segment. And, Colonel, I just want to know, what is it that we're afraid of? What is it that seems to be looming in the air as it relates to war?
Right. I think we shouldn't be afraid. I think we should be aware. And I think we should raise our situation awareness. And it's just important for every citizen of a free country to understand the issues. So what does this mean? Russia and China are doing major operations in China, or in the east area, north of China, in the Transbaikal area, and more troops involved in that than were involved in the invasion of D-Day. Okay, so this is a huge operation, major, major thing. What is it all about? Well, there's one very, very dangerous point in Europe. Believe it or not, it all comes back to Europe. Don't forget the last two world wars were fought in Europe. We don't want the third one to happen. This one is in a place called the Suwalki Corridor. You've never heard of this. It's a small slip of land 60 miles between Belarus, which is a Soviet ally, a Russian ally, excuse me, a Russian ally. They're the Soviets in my mind anyway, the Russian ally. And they have a 60-mile strip of land between Belarus and Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad is a Russian naval base enclave that has been heavily militarized. Lots of missiles, including missiles with nuclear weapons. So the concept is that it's very expensive to be able to move stuff into the Kaliningrad area. The Russians would like to split NATO. To do that, what they do is they attack on this line between Poland and Lithuania, and they go straight up into Kaliningrad, and they open up a corridor, and they say, this is ours. No one else can have it. We deserve this because we have to have a highway. If they do that, Lithuania is a NATO ally. Poland is a NATO ally. What do? Do we go to war over the Suwalki Corridor? Do we stand back and do nothing? Right now, we've got a couple of thousand troops there with light weapons. They have 330,000 troops they could move there with 36,000 tanks. Now, that's a major offensive. It's a major deal, and it's a major change in the calculus. Would the Russians be willing to throw that kind of dice and gamble it? We don't know. We have to stay strong and deter them. That's what we need to do, and that's what people need to understand. To deter them, we first have to be aware, and secondly, we have to take action.
One of the things that I think is a point you were making, though, with those cultures' power and force, that is a reckoning that they understand, and that is one of the things is we have to be strong in order to save, because if we're not strong, they're going to run over us like a tank.
That's right.
And as patrons, we need to stay informed, educated. And Colonel Antal, you mentioned a site that's a great site where it is not as biased as so many other news outlets seem to be.
Well, one of them is the Voice of America, news.com. You can check that out, and it gives you a pretty balanced approach. The other thing you can do is AmericanLeadership.com, American-Leadership.com. And you can go to my site, and I'll have flashpoints up in a PowerPoint presentation that you can look at.
And other things to explore are opportunities to learn from our great leaders. And Colonel Antal, you got a trip of a lifetime coming up that provides that opportunity. We are so proud to be a partner to help promote it.
Right. Thank you so much, Robin. In order to understand things, it's very, very important to sometimes visualize them and be there. If you'd like to come with me to Korea in October, the 17th through the 24th of October, we are getting ready to take a trip of a lifetime. It is going to be an amazing trip. All you need to do is go to H2LUS.com. Correction.
And guess what? We have an even easier way to get there.
Yes, we do. Alliance, go to the website. Go here.
AllianceForTheBrave.com. And Colonel Antal, on behalf of Alliance for the Brave and my personal company, Inside the Game Entertainment, we are making a $500 contribution to your leadership program through AUSA, the North Texas chapter, Ali Murphy. We encourage others to get on board and support leadership training.
Thank you, Robin. It's a great gift you give us, and I'm really appreciated. And yes, go to Alliance for the Brave to find out about our Korea trip, Alliance for the Brave, and you'll learn all about how you can come to Korea, and I'll take you there.
All right, thank you. This has been Alliance for the Brave, and I want to say a quick prayer to say thank you for our active duty, for our veterans, for our first responders, for keeping us safe. This is Jim Blythe and the Dream Team. You've been listening to Alliance for the Brave.
Stars through the past. busking in air. Gate flew through the night.